Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, at Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
Then after we get done reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 22.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 15, as well as 16. So is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, as the servants of God. And that word maliciousness implies desire to do wrong, albeit doing wrong, harming one another. Ultimately, maliciousness is a bad behavior. So ultimately, according to verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak, not just for maliciousness, to do any evil, but as the servants of God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3, reading down through verse 22, starting at verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled.
Yeah,
sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak ill of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, for which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not to put in away the filth of the flesh, answer the good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse you of good conversation in Jesus Christ. We're going to turn over now to 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And we're going to see David, a man after God's own heart, being falsely accused. His good conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You know what it's like to be falsely accused, Christian? I do. And I'm sure you do if you've been saved for any amount of time. And even if you're listening to your soul and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not boring. And I'm sure you still know what it's like to be falsely accused or have evil spoken against you falsely. 2 Samuel 10, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass after this, that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. And said David, I will shew kindness unto Hanan, the son of Nahash, as his father shewed kindness unto me. David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, thinkest thou that David doeth honor thy father?
Mm-hmm.
He hath sent comforters unto thee?
Yeah.
Hath David father sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and overthrow it? Wherefore he that took David's servants and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even their buttocks, and sent them away.
Yeah.
When they told unto David, verse 5 of 2 Samuel 10, when they told unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. ashamed, Christian. Someone would feel ashamed, dear listener, if you've been falsely accused.
Yep.
And when you've been the victim of a false accusation, how about a lie, gossiping? Are you guilty of such gossiping? Are you guilty of such lies? You call yourself a Christian? Repent. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you. Again, he said to me that because the men were greatly ashamed, and the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. Verse 6, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stayed before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Pethrahah, and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stayed before David, you know, gossiping, lying, falsely accusing another will cause you to stink before a man after God's own heart. I don't want to stink before a man after God's own heart, because I don't want to stink before God, and surely stink before God. It's ultimately stink before a man after God's own heart, and if you stink before a man after God's own heart, you'll ultimately stink before God.
Well,
do it.
Amen.
Come on now.
Go on. Preach it.
Preach it. Yeah. Let it. Consider. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed to falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Reminded of what Jesus himself had to say in that sermon. Notice the Beatitudes.
Uh-huh.
Saint Matthew.
Well.
St. Matthew chapter 5.
Yep.
All great stuff goes to.
Come on now.
Come on.
10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Mm-hmm.
So rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, you know what it's like to be falsely accused, Christian? You know what it's like to be falsely accused as a believer in Jesus Christ?
What?
You rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Jesus said, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Right.
Well, on this note, I will mention in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled.
Well.
Interestingly enough,
great.
I was telling my brother earlier, I marvel at God's leading. I was led of God to have us read the chapters that we were supposed to read for Bible study and meditation tonight. Yeah. It just so happened, 2 Samuel chapter 10 was one of those chapters, and lo and behold, it fits right into what God was going to have me preach tonight. Though I had no expectation of mentioning anything about 2 Samuel 10. God knows what he's doing, dear listener.
Go on, preach it!
Here's why. Chapter 1 was the other chapter we were supposed to read. And though I had no intention of mentioning in Jeremiah chapter 1, fit right in with the message. God knows exactly what he's doing here, dear listener. Jeremiah chapter 1. God said to the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I redeemed thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. You feel as though you cannot speak, child of God? Fear not. Ask God, and he'll give you a tongue that your adversaries can neither gainsay nor resist. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Has God put his words in your mouth?
No.
You can't. His spirit speak. But God says in verse 8 to Jeremiah, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Again, 1 Peter 3:14, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, you will be troubled.
Well,
verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Have a good conscience, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed of falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. We were mentioning the Calvinist earlier in the context of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, and how the Calvinists like to take verse 5 when the Lord said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The Calvinists like to take that out of context. But we can according to Romans 4:17, the Word of God declares there, Romans 4:17, the following. Romans 4:17. Starting in verse 16. Therefore, to the faith that it might be by grace, and yet the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but also to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, for him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. So God, calling those things which be not as though they were, tells Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Okay, so God performs his responsibility there in the matter. Now, what was Jeremiah's responsibility? See, the Calvinist isn't as quick to want to talk about that. But what was Jeremiah's responsibility? He doesn't the Lord sanctify him and ordain him a prophet over the nations. Jeremiah's responsibility is summed up in the very text we're looking at. And when the scriptures declare, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Jeremiah's responsibility before the very God who sanctified and ordained him a prophet unto the nations was to sanctify the Lord God in his heart. So, you call yourself a Christian? Are you sanctifying the Lord God in your heart? And you call yourself a Calvinist, as much as you may want to talk about God sanctifying you, are you sanctifying the Lord God in your heart? Continuing on, back to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 15, 16. So is the will of God, with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Verse 16, as free and not using your lips for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Well, quickly, I'll share a little testimony from my own personal life as to how false accusations and gossips and lies on behalf of anyone, be it other professing Christians, can be a stumbling block to another brother or sister in Christ. As a result of gossip and as a result of lies against me, I became very overprotective of my own personal testimony. Now, to say that one can be overprotective of his or her own personal testimony as a Christian may at first sound like an oxymoron, but it's not. You can be very overprotective of your own personal testimony to the point where you start, perhaps secretly trying to impress individuals in the flesh. Primarily, my struggles were not so much in the way of ministry as much as just performing my own job responsibilities as an employee at 290 Broadway in Manhattan, New York City. I could simply make a mistake and have to receive correction, or I'll be taught how to do something because I didn't do it right. Now all of a sudden be thinking to myself, oh, what my testimony, it's like, okay, like nobody else makes mistakes in the job and has to be corrected and has to be taught something. But that's a prime example of what I'm talking about, becoming overprotective of one's testimony. I would try to overexert myself in the job, and I would try to do things that, you know, maybe I wasn't quite ready to do, and when I wasn't able to do them, I would be like, oh, my personal testimony, no, you know, like they maybe even needed me to do that. I mean, maybe it involves something with the computer, and, you know, there's other guys that are taking care of that responsibility, and they don't even need me to do it. But still, like, I wanted to do it because I wanted to, you know, as it were, you know, make myself look good, you know, in the way I was doing things in the job. But, you know, next thing you know, I'm finding myself tempted to get maybe a little envious or a little jealous of individuals that can do certain things in the job that I can't do. And that's what happens when you become overprotective of your testimony. You give place to that kind of temptation in your life. But what was it that gave place to all that? But great, there were the things that were also challenging me on the job, and praise God, he exposed the strong man like he talks about there, like Jesus talks about in St. Luke 11. He exposed the strong man, and I was able to get deliverance from that. And then there were other things that played into it, like a little bit of a spirit of paranoia, you know, problems that would happen in the job. Awfully, it was a lot of gossip. And a lot of lies that I had been the victim of in the past that was giving place to a lot of my problems. And there were things along those lines that I thought I had been totally over and totally delivered from. And I wasn't totally over, I wasn't totally delivered from the effects of yet. But again, just a little lesson on the danger that's calling gossips and lies that comes as a result of it. Now you can get stumbling blocks out of this, and you engage in that. So again, we were looking at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So was the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He says, when I thought of how I had been the victim of such gossip and such lies on behalf of, sad to say, professing Christians, the Lord even brought to my remembrance that verse there that we looked at in 1 Peter chapter 3 about putting to, you know, putting to shame those who falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. The Lord even brought that verse to my remembrance. That's exactly what I was supposed to do. That's exactly what you're supposed to do, dear Christian, when such individuals engage in such gossiping lies against you, be they saved, be they unsaved. But even as the Lord brought that to my remembrance and reminded me that's what I was supposed to do, why that the devil was right there, tempted me to become overprotected with my own testimony. Tempting me to get all fleshy with trying to establish a good testimony, rather than walking in the Spirit to establish that testimony. But again, that's just going to show you, as it's been well said, we're God's at work, the devil's at work, or the devil's at work, God's at work. Though they are diametrically opposed to one another, they have a way of working very close together. That is a fact. So it is the will of God that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Recently, here at a service at this local assembly that I'm once again going to here at Staten Island, New York City, the man who was preaching, the one pastor who was preaching that night, was talking on this very text. And if you got to reading verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, as the servant of God, he talked about hearing more individuals talk about how they're not under the law. And he said, I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. And I, along with a couple other individuals in the congregation, couldn't help but amen him on that. Because you hear it a lot. You hear it a lot about people saying that they're not under the law. Most of the time when they're talking like that, they just want to license the sin, that's all. But as was pointed out by this pastor, and as I'm going to point out now how true it is, Our liberty in Christ is not an excuse to sin, but our liberty in Christ is a right to be all the more holy and to be all the more Christ-like. So, you call yourself a Christian. Are you using your liberty as a reason to be all the more holy and to be all the more Christ-like? Or are you using your liberty as a license to sin? For cloak of maliciousness? Or are you using your liberty as a servant of God? On that note, turn over to St. Luke, chapter 22. St. Luke, chapter 22. Jesus had something to say about this. Jesus had something to say about this. Verse 22, down through verse 27. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Verse 24, and there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. I would just pause here for a moment and just say that even the disciples, they struggled with this thing of vain glory a little bit and being perhaps overprotective of their own image. Wanting to put forward such a good image that they were even striving among themselves who should be accounted the greatest. And yet, verse 25, and he, speaking of Jesus, he said unto them, kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. If you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger. And he that is chief is he that doeth to serve. Verse 27, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. So, here was the King of Kings himself, the human body, worthy to be served, and yet serving. And so, who am I? Who are you, dear listener, to think that we should somehow be as unworthy to be served and not serve others? So let us not think so highly of ourselves that we don't have time to serve others, lest we sit around expecting to be served. Finally, I would ask, have you believed on the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the salvation of your soul, dear listener? The Word of God declares, all sin comes short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. Jesus said the first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy heart. First of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. Who is your God, then? Who or what do you put your faith in, dear listener? Whatever you put your faith in, whatever you look to for peace, whoever you look to for peace, tonight, this day, that is your God. But he is not the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Unto whom all live, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and you are guilty of breaking the first commandment, and you are an idolater before God, that sin is the transgression of the law. Whosoever should keep the whole law and yet offend at one point, he is guilty of all. Second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children of the to the third and fourth generation of them that ate. Again, Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water of the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 4 to verse 5 of Ezekiel chapter 20. You may not, as it were, bow down to statue of Krishna or any of the gods of Hinduism, or you may not bow down to a statue of great image of Buddha or Mary. Even if you don't bow down, even to a statue or image of Jesus, that's sin as well. Perhaps you bow down to the image you see when you look in the mirror, howbeit yourself. That sin, that idolatry called humanism. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless to take his name in vain. To use the name of Jesus Christ, to use the very name of God, curse word, to use loosely, as you're in conversation with your friends, or whoever, to use the name of the Lord in such a loose manner is blasphemy, it's taking his name in vain. And God says, you'll not be found guiltless. Jesus said, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Have you always been faithful? Keep one day out of the week, just devoted alone to the Lord? Not that he's not worthy of every day. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Disobey your mom and dad when they instruct you to do that which is good for your soul. Just when they ask you to do something that is in no way, shape, or form sin. There's nothing wrong with what they ask you to do, but yet you don't do it. Disobedience to your parents. Sin, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever hated his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, whosoever looketh upon a woman too lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thou shalt not steal. You shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Taking that which does not belong to you without asking for it. On behalf of the individual who owns it, the value irrelevant. Except, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. All liars shall bear part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. According to Revelation 21:8. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Curse, if you ever want to continue, if not in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. Jesus said, you and I need a Savior. You need a Savior. I've received a Savior as of March 1995. I've known him. Word of God declares that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus Christ bore the curse of your sin, as it is written in our text that we looked at tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ Jesus yet once suffered for sins. He doesn't suffer many times. He only suffers once. He said on the cross, it is finished. shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, verse 9, verse 13. Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is true life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift you receive by faith, dear listener. You do not work for it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 declares, for by grace you save through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, that man should boast. Stop trusting in your water baptism, your sacraments, what you esteem as your own goodness. For the Word of God says that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and your iniquity is like the wind of taking you away. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on the Son, Jesus Christ, have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations forget God. If you repent, dear listener, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, Satan chapter 13, verse 3, I tell you, nay, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Without the shedding of blood, God says there's no remission of sin. Jesus had to die. He had to give his life. He had to give his blood. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Are you putting your faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone tonight? If not, you're yet in your sins, on your way to the lake of fire. And I beseech you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Behold, now is the time. The day is the day of salvation. For again, it is written, Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Or we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians, all that here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Groover. Till next time, God bless you and yours.